Welcome to the BMX News Announcers Tower podcast. I'm Mike Carruth. With so many BMX families keeping their kids home from school following school closures in their area, parents who are not using remote classroom software may find themselves a bit lost in terms of what to do for the school day, what to teach, and how to keep things focused and not like an always-on vacation all day, every day. To help give parents some tips on homeschooling, we're joined today by two BMX homeschool parents, Jamie Vesely, who homeschools her two boys, 5 and 10 years old, and Matt Dubiel, who has 4 kids, 2 boys and 2 girls, and only the boys are homeschooled. So we're going to talk about that dynamic too. But Matt, Jamie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for joining. Yeah. So, Jamie, I want to jump in and start with you. Were your boys homeschooled from the start, or did they start in a conventional program and then, you know, you started the homeschool thing a little later?
Sure. No, we decided that we were going to homeschool straight from the start. So my kids have always been homeschooled. We started there.
Okay. And Matt, what about you?
I just recently started homeschooling my boys. My oldest son is 17, and my younger boy, Rocco, is about to turn 13. And so this is the first year that we've officially leaped in and put both feet in the water with the boys. The girls are staying at public school, and it's something I wish I would have done a lot sooner.
Right. And so but right now everyone's home, right?
Yeah. And as a result of the, a shelter in place or stay home or social distancing or whatever, everybody is home. And my wife, in fact, a few minutes ago, just announced in the kitchen that e-learning begins tomorrow. And that was a reference to the girls who are in public school, and their e-learning supplementary material starts to be available tomorrow.
Oh, right. Okay. So they have an organized, platform to do this from then.
I guess. I don't know how organized it is or how seamless it is from whatever they were doing at school. I question sometimes what they're doing at school, not so much high school, but definitely on the elementary school level. You know, I started to hear a lot of stories from all my kids about how they were watching Disney movies more frequently over the years went by during school. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I could do this.
Yeah, right. Right, for sure. So, Jamie, do you follow at your home? Do you follow a curriculum like on a daily basis, or is your program kind of more free form than that?
Sure. So, as far as our curriculum and study materials, it's definitely more free form. I've researched and chosen all of our materials. But if you're talking about like a structure and a time, That's sort of more of a routine. So, yes, I pick all of our materials. We don't have, I don't have anyone to like log into or report kind of like what's going on now with a lot of the e-learning families find themselves. From my understanding, does anyone remember like Blackboard from their college days when all of this internet learning was really starting to come into fruition? We had something called Blackboard, and it was where you had a website and you basically logged in and you posted either that your assignments were completed or answers to questions or things like that. And I've talked to some of our new public school / COVID homeschoolers, and that's what I'm getting is that they take their books home from school and they have a website to log into to check for assignments and to post answers and things like that. So, but that was a roundabout answer. I actually choose, we don't have a set like it's typically termed like an in the box curriculum. I don't have a box curriculum. I have several things that I've picked and chosen.
Right on. Matt, what about you guys? Do you follow like a curriculum that you purchased, or is it again more kind of free form like Jamie was talking about?
When I first started, by the way, I should say, I think this is I meant to say this at the beginning. I think this is a great idea that you're doing this for people, because what I'm seeing online is a lot of parents are you know, doing the thing like they do when the kids are on vacation from school for like a winter break or school break, where they're kind of, you know, bemoaning the fact that their kids are there. They don't really know what to do. So I think this is a really great opportunity, and thanks for doing this for other parents that are considering it. I think that's really great, and they'll get some value from this.
Definitely. I second that.
Yeah, everything. So hats off to you, Mike.
Thank you.
Everything about what we were after was in an effort to not do what is being done at the regular school. I found out some, like, to me, horrifying things, and it's a little melodramatic, but my boys are in advanced math classes and things like that when they were in traditional public school and even private school. Both of them had been in both, and they were in these advanced math classes. And then we would come home to work on regular sort of projects, and we would go through the math, and they would struggle to come up with the right answer on basic math. And so I did look into, like, you know, box training and all the sorts of different pre-made homeschooling applications and websites and all sorts of stuff. But in the end, I don't want to have that same, you know, end result for them. And so it's free range, but it's not unschooling. Mm-hmm. And so I have them using Khan Academy a little bit, which is a website that I think that you had told me about in the past, and some other people had recommended. In fact, a lot of we live in an area where there's a lot of Asian, Pacific Asian people in the suburb we live in, and a lot of them do these other programs to supplement their regular education, like Kokuman and other after-school training.
Oh, right.
And a lot of them are using Khan Academy as a supplementary thing. And as I introduced that to the boys, just to kind of give them a little bit of structure when they're on their own, I found out from my daughter Natalie, who's in public high school, that Khan Academy is being used also by some of her teachers. So it's not like I give them Khan Academy and then I put them in front of a computer and then, you know, go and do my work for the day. But it is much more free range, with the exception of my son Rocco, who is a middle school student. And because he wanted to play athletics and be on the basketball team and do some other things, we called the school. Actually, I had him do it, which was part of his learning and part of our learning. And he called the school, spoke to the guidance counselor, and found out that not only would the school allow him to play athletics as a homeschool student, but there's an option for him to take some additional courses, basically like the elective type courses, like Spanish and robotics. And he gets to stay for lunch if he wants to at the school. And he opted into that. So Rocco has a mixed sort of a hybrid, whereas Anthony, my high schooler who's 17, doesn't go to school at all. And everything that he gets is what he gets from us at home.
Nice. Yeah, that's super cool. So I'm glad that we were able to lay that little bit of a foundation for the listener, because I kind of wanted to give some background on your respective homeschooling experience, and really, you know, why we're here is not as much to extol the virtues of homeschooling, and we're going to leave that for another show, because we, you know, I think all three of us, and just as full disclosure for the listener, you know, we here at the Carruth household are also homeschoolers for the past 9 years or so. So we're definitely, you know, all about it. And so we're not pushing it one way or the other. We're here to help BMX families and other families who happen to be listening get into the groove of what it is to school at home. It's not necessarily just the same tempo as it is on Christmas break or something like that. This is something, you know, you as the parent are sort of responsible now for keeping on pace, keeping on track with things, and the routine and the schedule, I think, are super important. So as we move into that, you know, let's talk about that daily routine. Jamie, on your side of things, do you guys have a daily routine where, you know, an alarm clock rings and the boys get up and they get dressed and brush their teeth and so forth? Or is it sort of like everyone sort of tumbles down the stairs on their own, you know, on their own schedule?
No. We definitely have some structure. And I know everybody has their own sort of groove that they get into. So I'm just going to explain what we found works for us. My kids do better if everything gets done earlier in the day. So it's kind of typical, like my kids get up, not really my 5-year-old, but Tucker, my 10-year-old, he's the early bird. He likes structure and order, and he likes to be done. So he gets up and kind of takes care of himself. He has a couple of minutes to, you know, wake up and hang out and get himself together. And then he's usually, you know, right into his schoolwork. I'll set his stuff out. He knows what needs to be done as far as book work for the day. And he pretty much sits down and gets himself something to drink and gets in because he wants to be done, and then have the rest of the day to tinker on his machines or do whatever else or whatever. And then my 5-year-old just kind of follows suit. You know, he's just, his kindergarten year will be next year. So he's sort of in that preschool play, like, just learning numbers and letters and things like that. So, sure. We get up and we do that and we have breakfast and then we have second breakfast sometimes. but yeah, we're pretty much done with our book work in the ballpark of lunchtime.
Okay. So. Yeah. So it's not a full, you know, like ball and chained to the chair for the full day. I mean, it's, you know, there's, you're pretty much, you know, able to get it done. And then, you know, the rest of the day can be, you know, it's play, but it's also learning play, right?
Yeah. And I will add, boys approach information from a different way than girls. Maybe generally, typically, I don't want to sound either way. It's just in my experience that, you know, my son can't sit for 4 hours at a time and do everything all at once. So in that time that he's at our kitchen table, he will get up for short amounts of time and kind of refresh himself and, you know, sometimes he'll run his bike up and down the driveway and come back in and do something else. Or we have an indoor trampoline, actually one of those little exercise ones. And sometimes he'll jump on that for a little bit, you know, and then go back and do something. So it's not, I don't want to give this impression that it's a utopia, that my kids are, you know, perfect and they get up and they sit down nicely at the table. It's not like that. There's a lot of movement for my kids that kind of is married to their book work for the morning. So I don't want to give the wrong impression that it's everything's nice and perfect and quiet. It doesn't always look like that. Sometimes right it on. Does, but not always.
And Matt, on your side, you guys have, as I know, a very interesting routine at your house with the daily videos. So have you guys moved that into the homeschool realm as well? Maybe you could tell the listener a little bit about that and then move on to the daily routine a little bit.
Sure. Something I started doing with the kids probably around 2011. And at the time, there was only 3 of them. I have 4. And so... I got them a MacBook, just not a MacBook, a iMac that had, you know, eyesight and camera and stuff. And, I said, you know, I want you guys to use this for fun and have fun. But one of the criteria for you all is I want you to do a video every day at the end of the day. And, you know, at least before bed, if you haven't done it by then. And I just want you to talk a little bit about your high for the day, your low for the day. And over time, as you get better at that, you're going to find that you're going to share more and more experiences and essentially create like a video journal. And you've seen this in movies. Like if you ever saw the Will Smith movie, I Am Legend, you know, scientists and doctors in movies do this where they keep or in science fiction movies in Star Trek, they do this where they keep like a star log or whatever. And I said, you know, my grandfather didn't have that ability and my dad didn't have that ability and I didn't have that ability. But if we did, and if Einstein did, he would have probably kept a record of what was going on in his life. And your children will appreciate it. Your spouse will appreciate it. And it will just help you think about the day and mark the time and communicate. And, you know, there's just a bunch of sort of rotating, orbiting things that come out of that as a benefit. And so they've all been doing that. And certainly they don't all do it every day like they're supposed to. In fact, the boys, one of my boys, the oldest boy, is the one that maybe, you know, needs a little bit more of a reminder than the rest of them or whatever, but they've been doing it consistently. And so, as a sort of a parable to people that are trying to you know, embrace maybe homeschooling for their children, I think that you'll find that there are lessons in all of the things that we do. There's lessons in the little things that we do and in the big things that we do. And really, a good teacher, in my opinion, is somebody who is going to find the lessons in the things that we're doing and bring that lesson to the kids and to ourselves, because we're learning as we're teaching them, and find ways to learn from those. And so we have somewhat of a rigid schedule now. But my goal isn't to replicate the school system, especially for the boys. I echo what Jamie was just saying. I mean, the boys are my girls are in school still, and they like that. They like the regimen. They like the social aspect of it. They like the structure of it. It works for them right now. For the boys, it doesn't seem to be the best fit. And so I'm not trying to put them in that, you know, square peg in that round hole here at home and try and reinvent the wheel and bang my head against the ground or the wall, whatever. So in the morning, I do let them sleep. I don't make them get up at 6 a.m. and 7 a.m. like they would with high school and get in this, you know, this sleep deficit. I let them sleep in. And my youngest is also an early riser. My older guy would probably sleep till 2 p.m. if I let him. But in fact, just before I came in here, normally we'd be having a morning meeting at 9:15. And the message to the boys is, if you haven't eaten by then, you are going to have to wait till it's over, and we're not going to stop the morning meeting, and you're not going to leave it until we're done. And so if the morning meeting goes to 11:30, and my 17-year-old yesterday was like, "Man, Dad, I'm hungry." I'm like, "Listen, man, you should have gotten up sooner and you should have followed the rules. And now you're going to sit with those consequences and you're going to learn from that." So I have a family member that homeschools my goddaughter, who's like 9 years. No, she's 13 years old. And when they embraced and embarked on homeschooling, I think it was became overwhelming for my aunt, who was doing it because she felt like she had to replicate a school day and execute it in that way. And a lot of people that I've heard that from seem to put themselves in this own little prison where it's very difficult to live up to that, and they feel like they're not doing enough. And then you have the other side of that spectrum, which is, you know, maybe unschooling. And I think that depending on the person and the parent and the kid and everything, there's a sliding scale or a spectrum of sorts. And so we have this morning meeting, we talk about their issues that they have to do that day or the things that they need to do that day. Regular chores, regular projects, long-term projects, short-term lessons, things like that. And we really focus on the things that I believe they haven't been learning at school, which is like the old school sort of things. I'll give you an example, like writing thank you cards, like on Mondays, I'm sorry, on Tuesdays, I get it confused, which is why they each have a book that shows them like some basic things that we do on Monday and some basic things we do on Tuesday. Tuesday, they're supposed to call and or text family members and just connect with them, which any parent has noticed, I'm sure, over the years, you know, we used to have the house phone, and when we were kids, we maybe answered the phone or weren't allowed to or whatever it is. Our kids don't talk on the phone ever if we don't make them. And so I've got them calling their grandparents and talking to aunts and uncles and getting back out there with stuff, writing thank you cards on Mondays and little things like that. So we dive into math and science and certainly do bigger school type things, but really our focus is more on the old school organic stuff that has been really missing from that. And so after the morning meeting, they have to execute a lot of those things. They do some con, they probably spend 30 minutes or so on con, and then I give them some other projects and I don't want to ramble, but I'll share some of those projects maybe later if it applies to your other questions.
Yeah, great. Great. So, Jamie, a while back you talked about sitting at the kitchen table and getting things done. So is that what I'm interested to hear about is your respective workspaces for homeschool. And also, again, just keeping in mind the listener and how they're doing it for the first time, perhaps, just to keep everyone has such distractions. I mean, like, you know, the personal devices and friends calling because, you know, they're out of school and their parents may be still working. So they're kind of free range at this point where they can, you know, go out and do what they need to, you know, do what they want to do. And so, again, I think that a lot of our listeners are struggling with just how to set this up in such a way that it really can work, you know, can work. So, Jamie, why don't you tell us about workspaces? And then, you know, your kids probably are too young to have their own, you know, phones and stuff just so far. So maybe we'll rely on Matt for that one. But how do you neutralize, you know, the distractions?
The TV generally doesn't turn on in the morning because we find that for us, it's a time thief. It sucks our time away and sucks you in. And the rule is we don't even turn the TV on. I actually usually start to kind of break up the atmosphere. I actually play something like a smooth jazz station or a light classical, something that's really light, but still kind of keeps you in. As far as a space, we homeschool at the table. I have sort of a general area where I keep all of our stuff and our supplies, but, you know, we don't have a designated homeschool room, like a classroom. I know some families do, but for us, that's not an option. And we actually find that the kitchen table works really well because it's in the middle of mm-hmm. everything.
Right.
While my 10-year-old is working on his material, I'm generally helping my 5-year-old who's up and down with the Play-Doh and the kinetic sand and his handwriting and little readers and numbers books that he likes. So he's kind of all over the place. So I have to sort of juggle him. And my 10-year-old, and we eat, and, you know, we might have a cup of tea or the bathroom's right there. So we actually find that our kitchen table works really, really well. The whole devices thing, that's not really sort of on our radar right now. I think maybe Matt might have a little bit more field on that one, but generally the devices aren't really an issue
sure.
for us.
So Matt, on your side, where do you guys do the homeschool stuff, and then move on, if you would, to talking about those distractions and how you keep those at bay? Again, because especially parents who aren't used to doing it and kind of playing that traffic cop, as far as the learning focus, they may do that for homework, but as far as being the primary, facilitator, it's probably all new to them.
Yeah, I think it's important for anybody that's thinking about it, getting started, whatever, especially depending on how many kids you have, to just kind of get started in a way that helps you and works for you and your kids. There's no right or wrong. Nobody's going to be looking over your shoulder being like, you shouldn't do it this way. I mean, maybe somebody will if you let them, but the chances of you letting them are slim. So, and that's what we did. I just started doing what felt like it made sense to me for the boys specifically. And that was one of the, powers in just having it be the boys at that point. I would have loved to have done it with all my kids from day one. But starting with the boys and understanding them and working with them is really what they were missing. So in the morning, you know, they do their thing, breakfast, they make their bed, they have an exercise routine that is a daily non-negotiable that they go through and they do in the front, like, living room. And I have the kind of the same MO about television, except for during that time, I will put on, in Chicago here, we have the WGN morning news is on channel 9, and it's typically not like news like, you know, death and destruction and all sorts of stuff. It's typically light. They'll talk about something, you know, they'll have one of the ladies does around town. So it's very light and fluffy, and it inspires some conversation while they're doing their stretches and their exercises. And we kind of like ease into things that way. And it's not heavy, you know, like fear mongering sort of stuff. And so for that, it works. I wouldn't put like CNN or Fox or something on and expect the same result. Then we step into, I work from home. And so I have I'm a radio podcasting person by trade. So in the back, I have an office that has some microphones and some like webcams. And so what we do is we sit down and we try and do this every day, but sometimes there's things that day that don't work out or we're doing other things or whatever. But as a rule, we try and have our meeting and we record it. And I have the boys sort of man the ship somewhat. So if one of them can set up the sound and set up the recording and the other one can set up the cameras, and it's not like it's a TV station, it's simple home stuff here, but it still teaches them how to use that stuff. And we're coordinating and working as a team. And then we sit down and we talk about, the things of the day that are, again, non-negotiable. So, you know, thank you cards on Monday and phone calls on Tuesday and those little things to make sure that we're on track. We talk about the books that I have them reading, and we will have a discussion about those things. And that will go from anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes. And believe me, like, not every day, they're not on time every day. I start whether they're there or not. And typically it's myself and Rocco, the younger guy, that are starting, and then Anthony steps in, and I'm not trying to break them like a horse that you're trying to train. I'm trying to let them see the consequences of you're missing out and the consequences of that. Now you're behind for the day and you missed this and so on. So I definitely will, you know, reprimand Anthony or whatever if they're not on time, but we just kind of keep going with the flow and keep doing what we do. And I don't try and force it. I work on just kind of going with our plan here. So then once we do that, typically on a regular day, Rocco will go to the middle school for those classes that I was sharing that he participates in. So he's got like Spanish, robotics, PE, and then there's a lunch class at the end, not lunch class, but lunch period at the end of that he likes to stay for because it's an opportunity to hang with all his buddies that he knows. And so we'll take Rocco to that. And then from that point on, I let Anthony, who's 17, do his thing. And they each have a computer, gaming computers, PCs that they saved their money for and they worked for and they purchased. So when it comes to doing things like con, they do them there. I haven't taken their phones away from them. They do each have a phone. But with the girls here and my daughter, Natalie, who's 15, where it's likely that we'll be collecting the phones here during the, like, you know, regular day hours, because there's so many of them and you get outnumbered. So you have to, with our situation, you have to corral it. It's, otherwise, you know, they go off, they're not dumb. They go off to separate rooms and then they're in there and, you know, the door is closed and then you open the door and they're on a social media app or whatever. And so, I think letting that go after a certain point in the day is probably something that we're going to do. But that's kind of the way that it goes. I try and let the boys go as free range after the morning meeting as possible. And then, but I'm holding them accountable for their deliverables after that. So the next day, if they don't have them, then, you know, they gotta make up for it.
Right. Yeah. Those are great tips and, you know, great insights for sure. So just a few more questions we've got. And, you know, before we wind it down, we want to keep it to, you know, 30-ish minute show today. So, you know, are your respective homeschoolers responsible for daily chores, like around the house as part of, or perhaps after the homeschool day has ended? Jamie, why don't you start out?
Yes. My kids, you know, have certain age appropriate things that, you know, they are responsible for. And, like for my 10-year-old, it's written down in his notebook. So he has a daily notebook where the things that he's responsible for, which includes his schoolwork plus, some other things. And it's just sort of to get him in the habit of, organizing, you know, and checking himself, making sure that he did what needs to be done for the day. But it sort of gets interspersed throughout the day. He might use some of his break time in the morning to do a household chore, or he might decide that he's, you know, cruising along with his schoolwork and he feels good and he's going to wait on that. So, but either way, I kind of leave it up to him. And now he pretty much kind of picks and chooses when it gets done. I don't care when it gets done. He just knows that it's something that he's responsible for. So, and my 5-year-old, you know, he's just two thumbs up all the time. He's like, yeah, I'll put the silverware away. That's great, Mom. What next? You know, so it's a little different for him.
Definitely. That's great. Matt, what about you guys? Are those boys doing some chores as well as the, you know, the homeschool stuff?
They definitely are. Probably not enough, but they for sure have day oriented chores. And we also have like a notebook. We've ended up putting into a binder because there's some other things I have them looking at when they're going in there, but I want them to be going in there sort of like an organizer or, you know, like an executive would have. They have their daily and weekly things. And, you know, that ranges from garbage, you know, removal to, putting away the silverware, things like that. And we try and rotate that stuff. They need to be doing more. In fact, I can almost assure you that in the days and weeks to come, they all will be doing more, especially with spring here. But for sure. And I'd like to have, we can see the webcam. So we just saw your, the little one is,
They finally got curious to say hi.
Hi, guys. They probably can't hear.
No, huh? Sorry for the interruption.
Not at all.
That was an interruption. Yeah, so the answer is yes. It's not easy to do. And, you know, it's one of those things that those are the things that I'm on them about more than, you know, the maybe homeschooling things, you know. There's a regimen for sure, but I'm really working on them, the boys specifically, on them making decisions and them learning from their mistakes, not trying to, it's hard too. Cause you know, as a parent, as a dad with boys, I want to try and keep them from making the mistakes, but it's a fool's errand. I got to let them make mistakes faster so that they can see what happens from that. So, missing the chores, missing garbage day, things like that happened early on, but they're pretty on top of it these days.
Well, for those families who are all new to this, and that could be, you know, most probably, and I hope that, you know, a lot of families who aren't used to homeschooling are now, you know, who have to homeschool are listening to this. That's why we're doing it. And, you know, when they get finished with those assignments, whether it's through a, you know, an online learning platform provided by school or something that they're, you know, sort of rolling their own at home, you know, the thing that I kind of like about the homeschooling aspect is that it is kind of always on, in the sense that everything is a lesson all around us. And so we could be driving and be talking about the lawn signs for the election, or, you know, there's lots of different things. So they see additional topics, not as like more work, but just as more learning, more opportunity to talk about, you know, just things in general. Matt, do you find that's the case over by you?
Totally. In fact, that's been the biggest upside to this, is that the boys are asking to be included in things as I'm thinking, gee, I should probably have them included. And I'll give you an example. We had a financial planner come over a week or so ago. And, you know, it's from the place that we have our like 401ks at and stuff. And he wanted to kind of come by and talk about, you know, what we're going to do in the future. And we mentioned that. And Anthony said, can I come? Can I sit down and watch and participate and listen and participate? And I was like, yeah. In fact, I was thinking in the shower that I was going to have you do that because, you know, you're going to learn a lot just by from listening and watching. And then the conversation that comes after that is going, you know, that conversation is going to spawn all sorts of other questions, which are going to lead to more things. And so we ended up having, you know, hours and hours over the course of the next few days of conversations about that sort of stuff. And he is thinking about that from a different perspective. And he saw it from that, you know, financial planner's perspective, because we were asking questions about, you know, what are other people doing? What are you seeing? And of course, the financial planner's like, you know, people aren't doing this soon enough. You know, people in their 60s and their 70s are very much not prepared, many of them. So you can never start too early. And he gave Anthony some tips on what he can do now. Those sorts of opportunities, you know, I can't stress this enough to parents that haven't gone down this road yet and think that it's like this overwhelming thing. I would say, you know, you don't need to go buy a bunch of stuff. You don't need to go and nobody has to tell you that you're ready or that you're prepared. You know your kids. Start talking with them a little bit. Spend an hour with them or 30 minutes with them, figure out what is going on with them and what they are craving, and then just do that. And the other stuff will come along with it, like the math and the logic and all that sort of stuff folds into everything. And if they can learn how to apply it in everyday life, you're teaching them something that they truly never could get at those other schools anyway. And that ranges from, I have interns here that go to DePaul. They're not learning a lot of those things at DePaul. They're just learning the course. They're not learning how to apply it to real life. And that's where that's sort of the secret weapon that I think parents realize when they're doing some of this stuff.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Jamie, on your side, do you guys, through your travels and so forth, do you do side trips to go and do homeschooly type stuff?
It's sort of the reverse. We have some family and stuff that live out of state or for the business that my husband mainly runs, that includes some travel as well. So if we travel for family or if we travel for the business, I usually turn that into a field trip. At some point, you know, like you said, life is learning. So we're always learning something. But I usually will turn a sort of out of town trip into some kind of field trip because there's always something new to see and experience and to learn from. I will also add that I love car schooling. I don't know if that's a term, but I love this idea where everyone's in the car and you're in there together, right? So we actually use that time to learn other things, some things that we're big on classical models. So my kids have things to learn and to memorize. So we sing songs. We practice our skip counting. Also, I will add audiobooks are our friends. So when we're in the car, you know, we also use that.
Yeah, that's great. So as we come down to the final minutes here, can you give us any tips, parents that, you know, are struggling with keeping the proverbial train on the tracks? Obviously, this is kind of a whole new time that we're ushered into these past and probably the next month or 2 months or maybe more. I think that the listeners will be tremendously helped by some tips that you could give in terms of both, you know, just kind of focus and keeping the lesson plan in order and just anything that you could think of. So Jamie, I'll let you go ahead and get started on that one.
You bet. So the first thing that I think that everyone needs to maybe think about is to take a step back. Everyone take a step back, take a breath and relax, because this is uncharted territory for a lot of people. So I think patience, you know, is going to be a key, and understand that this is not there's no on and off switch. I think it's more of an on ramp, because nobody's going to be used to their new normal right away. So I think, you know, grace and patience, as difficult as it's probably going to be, at some point, that we all need to remember that, you know, everyone's new normal is sort of coming around, and this is uncharted territory for so many people. You know, normal is normal because that's what you do. When you do something new, it's not normal. So it's a little uncomfortable, and it can be overwhelming at first. So I think that everyone should just take a collective breath and step back and relax, and it's okay. is the first thing that I wanted to say to you. Give yourself the grace and the room to figure this out for yourself and for your children. The second thing I would like to say is, Matt hit it on the head earlier, is that we're not trying to replicate public school at home. And I think it's important to know that a home is a home, and learning is going to happen in the home, but it's not going to look like learning at school. So I just wanted to say that.
That's important.
So, yeah. As far as where the rubber meets the road kind of thing, activity and tasks like we talked about earlier are really kind of important. If you want, I think maybe some fresh air at the beginning of the day before anyone even starts anything, or some kind of physical activity after, you know, after you do like the brushing the teeth and the getting dressed. I think maybe it might help that everyone move their body before you sit down and start to jump into the day, if possible. Maybe, you know, an activity or a new chore before the day gets going might help everyone sort of get the mojo flowing in the right direction.
I like that. I like that. Matt, what about you as far as some tips for the listener? And so how can they make it easier on themselves and the kids?
Yeah, you mentioned when you first asked the question, you said something about like keeping the train on the tracks, which is a great, you know, metaphor. And I think there's something to consider about that in particular. And to me, the first part of that is remembering, I think it's a great opportunity for parents that like their kids. And it seems like, what parents don't like their kids, right? But I've always wanted to be a parent. And it's so thinking of this as I get to do this, thinking about this as a time that you get to experience. And I mean, like, what's better in the world than being with the people that you love more than anything, and getting to be with them in a period of time where you get to show them things. That's what we all used to do before this concept of sending them away to school even started. And that's a new thing, you know, relatively new over the last 100 years or so. And so, you know, moms and used to take their daughters and teach them how to do the things that the moms knew how to do. Dads did that. And there's no reason that you can't cross train, or it has to be like gender specific or whatever. But that's what we used to do. Our dads in the 1800s used to show us how to do what they do. So to me, it's coming from a place, first off, to try and find that place where you go, wow, I get this opportunity to be with my kids and share with them what's in my head, share with them what I'm thinking, share with them and have them reciprocate and share with me. And they'll help you find the youth that you lost, you know, and the ideas and the creativity that you maybe put aside as you got serious and became an adult. So to me, that's the first part, is remember why you had kids and think of it as I get to do this. And so the second part of that is, how do you keep the train on the tracks? You know, there's a fine line between my instinct would say, move the tracks, don't move the train. And teachers in public school or private school can't really do that because there's 28 kids or whatever it is. And parents need to be careful, because if you have a really, you know, deft kid who just doesn't want to do whatever it is you're trying to get them to do, well, then they're going to get you to move the tracks. And obviously that's the wrong time to move the tracks. But when it comes to organizing things in a way that works for your kids, why not set up the tracks any way you want that works for them? And if along the way they get to learn about math and science and hygiene and things, then great. I mean, one thing that I can't, you know, I know that you didn't want to go too long and I'm just going to try and keep it short, but the number one news item right now is people are being told to wash their hands. And like, that is a basic fundamental that my grandmother taught her children, that, you know, her 6 children, and then their 27 grandchildren, and so on. And so there's this fallacy that the lessons that your kids need to learn are in a brick building that somebody else is running, when the lessons that we have, the recipes, the ideas, the dreams, all those things are within your family, and you have those things with you. And so if you just remember that this is something you get to do, and you remember that you can move the tracks to accommodate the needs of your kids and yourselves, there's no wrong answer. There's nothing that you can do that will go badly or work out the wrong way. It will work out just great. And as you go as far as you can see, and then you'll see further, and it will keep getting better, because you'll get better at it, and so will they.
Wow, that's great stuff from both of you guys. So thank you so much for all that. And, you know, there's no doubt that we're in uncharted territory here, just in general as a society, and parents that are, you know, finding themselves all of a sudden, you know, placed into the role of teacher and disciplinarian and so forth, school marm, what have you, is an unnatural place. And so hopefully by way of this podcast, you know, it helped to, you know, make it a little bit easier and give some, you know, some reassurance and some encouragement to press ahead, you know, and maybe it'll work out that some families will want to stick with homeschooling after the crisis passes. You know, they're just going to love it so much that they just can't let them go. And of course, there'll be many, and most maybe, that'll say, give a big hallelujah and can't wait to get back to the way things used to be, you know, putting the kids on the bus and Calgon take me away, and, or, you know, going back to work like normal. And, you know, I think it'll be great when we can all get back to some sense of normalcy, whatever that new paradigm happens to be. So any final words? Jamie, I'm going to go to you, and then we'll sign it off with Matt.
I just would like to echo a little bit of what Matt was saying. This is a really great opportunity to sort of reevaluate and look at the time that you get to spend with the people that you love the most, and maybe sort of step back from the initial shock of it and realize that, you know, this is a time and an opportunity where we get to spend some new time with our kids in a different way. And there's really great things to be said for that, you know, despite all of the sarcasm and the lamenting about drinking and all of that. You know, take your breaks and find your own stride and enjoy your children.
Definitely. Matt, what about you? Final words?
I don't know that I could say it any better. I think that I echo everything that Jamie just said. It's a great opportunity, and just try and go with it a little bit. I know that maybe that's a little bit easier said than done for these parents that are thrust into that situation and having to work from a home. But I can tell you from experience that your productivity at home when you laser focus for a little bit is far superior than whatever it was at work. We all know that. And your laser focus with the kids is far superior. Know this. It's far superior than whatever they were doing at school. What you don't realize is you know, they say that, like, if you condense the human body, there's so much space between the protons and the neutrons and the cells that, like, you know, we would be like this smaller than a dime because there's just so much empty space. That's how the school day is at their school. And I'm not just, you know, guessing. I've gone and I've shadowed at both all the kids' schools, and I've witnessed it, and I've witnessed the amount of screen time and free time and all that sort of stuff. There's this fallacy that they're sitting there curing cancer all day for 8 hours. And the reality is they're not. And I'm not trying to poo-poo what the school system is or the teachers. They do a great job, but you can also do that, and you don't have to feel like you have to jam 12 hours of schooling into, you know, 8 hours a day. You're going to get plenty with them. It's going to be okay. And your work will still be there, and everybody right now is going to give you some flexibility to figure this out, your bosses, your kids, everybody. So just kind of, you know, shake the bugs out and ease into it and work it out, because it could be the greatest gift that you've ever gotten for your family.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Well, I hope that we can continue on this topic and do some more shows, and I hope you guys will both come back when we decide to do that. So can we count on you for that?
Absolutely. Yes. That'd be wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
Me too.
And so for this episode, for Jamie Vesely and Matt Dubiel, I'm Mike Carruth, and thanks so much for joining us.